he asked me if I was going to teach that session today. And I told him I had studied a little bit on Wisdom Part 2. And that's where we're going to go today. Wisdom Part 2, and that starts in Ecclesiastes 9, chapter 9, verse 13. Just a quick review of the first part of our lesson on wisdom. I know that some of the areas in Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 kind of remind us of the book of Proverbs. And we're going to run that into that again as we go along towards the end of our study in this book. Some of the things that just we'll briefly touch on as a reminder of good reputation brings health and fond memories, even after our death. Isn't that right? Good reputation, how important is that? That's really critical, isn't it? Especially for us as Christians. And what we need to do every day is have a good reputation. Yes, Bob. It
takes years and years to build or establish and can be thrown away in an instant.
That's exactly true. And sometimes we're prone about that, aren't we? That we can work and work and work and try to maintain, build up and maintain a good relationship with everybody and have a good reputation, and all of a sudden we make a foolish statement or a foolish move, and it just about destroys everything we worked so hard to attain. That is, that is really unfortunate. How do you think we can recover? Or can we recover when we do that one foolish thing or say one foolish thing? Can we ever recover from that? How would we go about recovering from that? Sure.
Well, with God, it's easy. We just realize our mistake and pray to Him for forgiveness of it. With people, it depends on how good your reputation is, if you apologize, whether they believe you or trust you, or how long it takes.
It should be quick. Don't be lackadaisical about doing that. Kristen, did you have a question?
I was just apologizing, just, you know.
About the best you can do it. Dean?
You know, I was thinking about this in terms of what we post on the internet. Reputation is so fragile. And when things get posted on the internet, you know, I sometimes think that we need an amendment to our Constitution that says you have a right for things that you posted on the internet to be forgotten. But we don't have that. And so in terms of reputation, I think social media has kind of confounded all of this. It's so hard to rebuild because they don't ever go away.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique situation that we find ourselves in, especially old people or older people. When they're not using it, I mean, I know how to turn my iPad on and I can snake through it a little bit, but that's about as far as it goes. I can play a few games and that type of thing, but I enjoy a funny, and I post some funnies that I run across the internet once in a while. I always get some kind of response, like from Susie. I try to look at it carefully before I send it on and share it, because there's some nasty stuff out there. Ken, did you have a question or a comment?
I was going to say, when it comes to acting foolish, this is when we are taught that humility is really important.
That absolutely. If
you don't have that sense of humility, you can't humble yourself to the point where you're willing to ask for forgiveness, then you're a fish in the sun.
Yeah, humility is certainly a trait that we need to practice to create. I don't think there's a problem with being confident in what you're doing. Some people won't. I mean, I had to work really hard to even get up here and open my mouth. I've been a song leader forever, since I was in my teens, and that doesn't bother me. And I, when they asked me to get up and do some lessons and whatnot, I wondered, and I asked several people, can I just get up there and sing the lesson? I was comfortable with that. So I'm not getting up here and speaking for 25 or 30 minutes. And that was really difficult for me. And I have been in front of you folks for how many years?
Okay.
Can't even count them all. Some of them I've known all my life, Doc, for instance. I can't remember how long we've known each other, but since teenagers, early married life, even well before that. But it's still difficult for some people. It's difficult for me to get up there and stand and try to act like I know what I'm doing. But you have to have confidence. So you have to portray that confidence as you go along through life. But you have to be humble at the same time. That kind of gets in the way, doesn't it? So you have to use that wisdom. Also, Solomon mentioned in a part of his chapter 8 or chapter 7 of his study, that the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. What do you suppose he meant by that? We're joyous when we have new children born early. It's a joyous occasion. It's better the day of our death. How do you think that can be, Ted?
Well, from that, from what we've read about what Solomon, or the writer, whoever that is talking about here, this under the sun idea is that it's, you're going to deal with hardship. And the day you're born, hardship starts. The day you die, hardship stops. So from an under the sun point of view, the day of death is better than the day of birth because you no longer have to suffer.
There are certainly low times in our lives. As we go through life, with the runs and those low things that come along and create difficulties for us in our lifetime. What did it mean when in Solomon, and I believe in Solomon, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, there is some contract with some of the other scholars out there that we're not sure about that. There is constant battle. Who wrote the Bible and so I don't have a problem with whoever wrote it. But I think it was Solomon. He also said a criticism. A wise person is better than from a fool. What do you think about that? You have a question about or a comment? Me?
Well, I know that as we're growing up, and it's honestly what this younger generation is missing is that spending time with individuals who have been on this earth longer. And so in my trade and in my life, I've been straightened out, if you will, called on the carpet by individuals who I remember, individuals who were successful in business or successful in their relationship with people. And that's beneficial because you hear it. The fool will criticize. And this question goes all the way back to the first question. What do we do when we're the fool? And we apologize. I mean, that's a given, right? But the fool wants to see you fail. The world wants to see you fail. So the more successful you are, the more there are people out there that are looking, waiting for you to make that mistake. And so that makes it very difficult, you know, here to go back to the social media bit. But ultimately, the criticism of a wise person, that's a wise person coming to me and saying, Dean, you need to relax. You need to chill out. You need to accept that there's other ways of doing things. That's been a
okay. Anybody have any other comments about the quick part?
Well, the fool and the wise man can both tell you exactly the same thing, but the wise man is trying to do it, as Dean says, for your benefit, to let you know that you may prosper from what he's telling you. And the fool, you don't listen to the fool quite often because you learn to tune out the fool. So the wise person says the same thing. You listen and you understand what he's saying, but if the fool tells you, because you already know he's a fool, you don't believe him. So surround yourselves with wise people.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you do. Okay, let's take a look at wisdom. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 through chapter 11, or part of chapter 11. How does a wise person think?
He speaks the truth.
Good.
He speaks the truth.
Okay.
With authority? Authority?
Okay.
Slow to speak?
Slow to speak.
Skill?
Knowledge?
Intelligence.
In verse 12, it tells us that he speaks with gracious words. So it's not necessarily rebuke, even if it is a rebuke. It's a rebuke that's meant to benefit the person he's talking to.
Yeah.
He or she, that is.
When you look at the words of fool, usually comes out of a loud mouth. I run into people like that and try to talk sense into them, and they just get in your face and yell at you. You know, what do you do in a situation like that? You just stay quiet. And that's tough to do sometimes. Margaret, you have your hand.
I was going to say that a wise person considers what he's saying before he says it.
Yeah. I think that's really important. I know sometimes I enjoy having fun. I poke fun at people like that. Sometimes I get a little carried away. I look back on things that I said and I put my head said. I felt kind of foolish about that, that's for sure. So I think each and every one of us probably have opportunities to be foolish. And when that comes along, you hope that they're going to be about as brief as you can be in case.
I think the thing that we have to be aware of is instantaneous communication. some of the best advice that Kim gives me is before you hit the send button, let it sit for a day. Because giving yourself some time to think about what you're about to say to somebody else can be a really good idea. When I respond in anger, or I respond before I've thought about what I'm saying, it never turns out well. And I think instantaneous communication can be a blessing and it can be a curse. And I know in my case, it's usually a curse.
Well, you know, sometimes you feel you do things or you don't do things. You feel pretty foolish about that. Yesterday was a work day here at the building. I spaced it out. When I finally remembered that I was supposed to be here, I looked at the clock, and it was 5 minutes till 11. So I really need to apologize. I should have been. But I felt pretty foolish by it. I wrote it down. I did look at my notes. And my memory is getting a little short. So as time goes by, I have to write everything down, but I need to look at the notes here.
Well, also with what Dean is saying, they say if you can just keep a person from committing suicide for a certain time period, all of a sudden, they can see that everything is not as hopeless and not as deep as where they were. And so in whatever struggle you're having, whether you're hitting the send button or whether you're just living it, if you just wait a while and reflect on it and don't dwell on it, that you may be able to put it in an entirely different perspective.
Bob, did you have a comment?
I was just going to say, comment along with what Dean said. In my personal life, it's always better for me to write a letter than make a phone call. Mm-hmm. Because if I write a letter, I know letter writing is out of vogue. We do everything on our computers now. But if I write a letter, then I'm always revising what I put in that letter. I write it 3 or 4 times to get my thoughts arranged and say what I want to say. And if I'm trying to persuade someone to do something, I want to make sure I say the right things and to encourage them and not discourage them.
Who wants to read James in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19? What does that tell us about people with wisdom?
Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry.
Yeah. Part of being wise person. Be sure to be quick to listen. If someone else, and I don't recall what that talks about, let your words be few.
Verse 19 in James. For you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
Colossians 4, verse 6, what that says. Let them speak be greater than Peter with thought. In other words, what you think before you thought, think before you speak.
Well, James 3, of course, he talks about the tongue. It's an unruly member. It's hard to control. And for that reason, I think it's important for us to consider how much damage we can do you know, I do a lot of reading that deals with how parents raise their children. And what we say can so impact a child that we just can't imagine it. Kim tells a story about being in, I think it was sixth grade, and she goofed up a math problem on the board. And the teacher looked at her and said, "You should never do math." Mm. Do you know, to this day, Kim thinks she can't do math? All because of what one person said that was ill-considered. And we do that to our kids without thinking. We tell them, "You're stupid." We should never do that to our children. What they did was maybe dumb, but the child themselves, the child himself is not stupid.
Yeah.
We studied it a while ago, Ecclesiastes 5:2, do not be quick with your mouth or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few.
Yeah. What about the person who holds a particular position in life? Does that reflect the person's wisdom? You've got a rich man and one who goes out and works every day, laboring with his hands. If the rich man earns his wealth, is he the one that's full of wisdom, the guy who doesn't have that, works from day to day for his living, trying to, is that person less wise? Does it reflect the wisdom reflect on your decision in life?
I think it comes back to your character as how you reflect yourself as a hard worker. The rich man can be a hard worker and show his employees or just show people that he's just like one of them. He's not bragging, he's not, but you could have, you know, I mean, I think it's just how you reflect yourself. And is it kind? Is it polite? Is it respectful? Are you, you know, you're not bragging or boasting about it, you're just doing it. So I think you have wisdom in that way.
You know, the person who goes to work every day, works hard, provides a decent living for his family, but he goes home at the end of the day and he can enjoy his family. He can enjoy his meals. He has some time to himself and to his family. And he goes through life perfectly happy. That's exactly what Solomon is saying here. Yeah. The rich man over here, I mean, he might be wise, just as wise as the guy who is out there laboring in the field. But riches bring its own problems as well, that always worrying about as well. So they can be equally wise. One person might be happy, the other person not so happy. But what is Solomon saying is the outcome of both of them? Both gonna die. That's the end result, isn't it? Our life is brief, yes.
Well, the thing that impresses me about position and wisdom, some people deserve to be listened to, and some people don't. And we have a hard time in our culture, it seems, distinguishing between the two. I read an article just recently. Somebody said that the fact that Taylor Swift commands such attention is a poor reflection on our society, that we somehow attribute great wisdom to an athlete. You know, why is Charles Barkley worthy to comment on the way that people live their life? He's a good basketball player. That's his claim to fame. Why is it that we follow celebrity and we want to dwell on the things that they say as if they were words dripped from heaven, and they're not? And I think that's a hard lesson for us to learn. Some people get to have the microphone that don't deserve to have the microphone.
Yeah. Any other comments? Share with one another? Okay. Remember in 2 Samuel chapter 20, there was a man named Sheba, and he rebelled against David, tried to usurp his authority, and David was out to chase him down. He ended up in a city, I think, in a country of Benjamin, or the territory of Benjamin. And he hid himself. Joab was not one of his men. And he went into this village, his fortified village. And Joab traced him down to that village and started demanding his release. And he started building siege works up against the wall, trying to break into this town. And there was a wise woman, we don't know her name. She was never mentioned. But she saved that city and saved those people in that city by being wise. She told Joab, she said, I'm a faithful follower of David, and I'm loyal. And if you'll spare the city, we will send Sheba's head out to go and drop it over the wall. And he promised to go away. And that's exactly what happened. He cut Sheba's head off and dropped it over the wall to Joab. And he took his army and he walked away. Pretty wise woman caused the death of a person, but he would have died anyway. Been executed, but still, she diverted Joab because of her wisdom. There was another one that I think we looked at too, that the wise man did the same thing, basically, and saved everybody. What happens to the wise person? I'm going to ask you a question. Wisdom in chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes requires choice between making and acting in a way that avoids emotional reaction. And that's where we come in with this foolishness and negate everything. Solomon sees evidence of folly in society, and he warns against reacting to the mystery of life. When such things as apathy, evil, injustice. He says that wisdom is the true path Ecclesiastes 10 goes to the foolish avoid industry. They think that they can control circumstances. And they fill the air with lots of words, all of which ends up with madness and weariness. What happens when there is a time for pleasure, place for pleasure, but when it replaces industry, what happens? This word graft and corruption and stuff like that work the way in. Evil thoughts, evil deeds, and evil certainly follow.
Not sure I understand your question.
I'm sorry.
I said I'm not sure I understand your question, but can you restate your question in a different way?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. There's a time and place for pleasure. But what happens when we put that in foremost? The number one spot and we're not industrious. Instead of kind of like a day we're about that, and we like to go out and drink and be merry and that type of thing, you know, eat and drink and be merry because tomorrow we're going to die, that type of stuff. What happens when that replaces your industrious efforts? Gives rise to evil thoughts, evil things that come along because you're not out there spending your time doing positive things.
There used to be a little story about that. Story about the ants and the grasshopper.
Yeah.
I remember that from my youth anyway. The grasshopper filled his life away, the summer away, while the ants were getting ready for winter, and he made fun of them until winter rolled around. And he was left out in the cold, and the ants were well taken care of. So. Take care of business first, and then pleasure will take care of itself.
That's put some pretty interesting habits in some of the insects. And it is good. You can watch them in there. They're really fascinating. Let's look at number five real quick. Why should we be generous with what God has given us? Why should we share our
because that's
what, go ahead.
Because that's the purpose that we have lived. That's why God gave it to us.
What does Solomon say here in verse 1? Catch the bread out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Come back tenfold.
Well, that we have is ours anyway. God blessed it with us, blessed us with it, and it's really new.
Yeah, we should share it.
Yeah.
We have lots of examples in not only the Old Testament, but the New as well, in sharing our bounty with others. Remember in Acts, when they were taking care of the widows and the orphans. People sold the property, gave whatever they could. We remember the story a lot about Ananias and Sapphira. We made a mistake, but When you look at that all through the time, remember Paul, who took funds?
Mm-hmm.
Because people shared their value and their wealth with others. And Paul took the funds to the needy in Jerusalem. That's an act as well. And there's many other places in the New and Old Testament that reflect that. That's just nothing but wisdom. But, you know, in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, it talks about God loves a cheerful giver. So that's the thing that we need to think about and share our generosity, or be generous in our sharing. If you wait for just the right time to do something, what happens?
Doesn't
happen. It never comes about. Well, Solomon calls on us in this section we read to maintain an attitude of thanksgiving. And describe and invest our time wisely. And we can acknowledge the fact that this is a problem. This mess over in Israel is just a prime example. Just put nothing on it. But what the news is about in this couple of days. So it's something that we need to pray about too. Is, what's going on in the world, hopefully we will be safe. Thank you everyone for your comments and your questions. We didn't get through quite as much as I would like. But be sure to pick up the sheets for next week out there.